Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, well, it's a Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope your bracket is still intact. I doubt it, though. Lots and lots of upsets.
Mine's holding strong.
Really? Okay.
I've got three of my four Final Four teams still alive.
Oh.
Which, okay. Does anybody have all four of theirs left? Pretty tough.
I lost my champion in the first round.
Oh, that kills everything.
I had Purdue.
Oh, Purdue. How can you really be that mad, though?
No.
I mean, if you're going to have your bracket lose, don't you want it to lose on a 16 beating a 1?
I say all the time, I actually root for chaos more than my bracket. I like it. I like those things happening. Now, as you get later, I will be honest, I love early round upsets, right? Like if a 1 or a 2 lose, like, yeah, that's incredible. Look at that. But then you get to the Sweet 16, you got like a 12 against a 13. Like, I kind of would rather see some better teams here, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Right? So it is nice in the moment when it happens, but then you're like kind of left wanting a little more as the tournament goes on. I still do have three of my Final Four, though, but I lost my champion. I have Alabama, Texas, Gonzaga still remaining, but Purdue's out.
Good.
So I can still keep getting points here.
Yeah.
Right? But here's what happened. So I didn't really enter like lots of pools this year.
Yep.
But I did create a little one online just for me and my wife and my son. And I said, all three of us, we're just going to go against each other. First day, my wife has Virginia. Bam, out. I'm like, all right, Max, mom's out. She's got her champions out, just me and you.
Yep.
Next day, me, Purdue. Bam, out. Oh, my gosh, Max. Well, guess what, buddy? You still have your champion. Know who he had? Kansas. Bam, out.
Oh.
So now we're all in this boat where we're all out. But when I look at the actual like points total, here we go. Ready? Yana, 26 correct. Sal, 28 correct. Max, 31 correct. He has 5 more right than me.
Wow. Max crushing it.
I know. That's what happens in the tournament.
Does he get a prize? Is there an inter-house prize or pool or something?
He'll want one. I don't know. What does he have? He has Kansas winning it all.
He gets to pick.
He is down, though. He has Kansas and Purdue both in there. So, anyway.
He gets, like, restaurant of choice the next
there you
time.
Go. There you go. No doubt about it. So, it's funny. Did you enter a lot of pools or?
I'm in three different ones. I do the same bracket in all three.
Okay.
I don't know if that's normal, but I do the same bracket in all three. And you will see me lose interest the moment my bracket is dead.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, especially this late. I'll be into the early days of the tournament, but the only way I'm really that invested in the later rounds is if there's either one Cinderella team, right? Like Loyola Chicago a couple years ago made it really far. So that would get me there. Maybe that's Princeton this year. Although, how can you be plucky underdog Princeton? Like, usually not. They're not really seen as underdogs, except in sports, I guess. And then, if my tournament, if my bracket is dead, you'll see me lose interest. But for now, I got Alabama, Houston, and UConn all still going really strong.
I love it.
Final four picks.
Should be fun. Should be fun. I wasn't able to stay up for the late game last night, Gonzaga. That was one I had to turn on and see. They were losing, and then I turned it on and said, all right, well, I got on, woke up this morning and turned on the app to check the score, and they had advanced. So should be fun as we go forward here, the Sweet 16 this coming week.
Did you see the TCU cover last night?
No, I didn't. I saw the score. I didn't see what happened.
One of the worst bad beats in college basketball history. Gonzaga up 6 with 0.7 seconds to go. TCU, lets the ball roll the full court because there's 0.7 seconds left. Nobody cares. He picks it up, at half court. And just, whatever, throws the ball from half court towards the hoop and makes it. They lose by 3 and cover the 4-point spread.
Gosh.
One of the worst bad beats ever.
As I like to point out, with every bad beat, there's a good win.
True.
Right? Like,
yes.
You thought you were going to lose, and then, oh my God, I covered!
Right, no, right,
Somebody won on that. A lot of people probably did. I'll tell you who didn't win yesterday. Anybody who went to the Buffalo Sabres game that was not wearing black and gold.
There were a lot of people wearing black and gold, by the way.
Okay. Lots of frustration on my part because, did you go? You didn't go.
No, I did not.
I usually see you at every game. I didn't see you. I did see Jeremy and Molly and the kids. They were there. Okay, so we walk in, and as you're walking in, you know how you see people walking into the arena and you can see the jerseys and all that?
Yep.
We're used to seeing a lot of out-of-town jerseys. That happens. I mean, it was just overflowing with Bruins fans, right? And I'm like, Max, there's going to be a lot of Bruins fans here today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe, it was...
I didn't think it was going to be that much.
It was awful. And this is not a, any, like, don't sell your tickets, whatever. I don't care. I don't care how they got them, whatever. I don't blame people. You go. These people bought tickets. They come here. It might be cheaper for people from Boston, literally, to get in their car, drive to Buffalo, New York, go to that game, and drive home than it would be to go to a game in Boston. It might be cheaper.
Yeah.
Especially good seats.
Yeah.
No, right?
If you're getting good seats, it probably would be cheaper.
So.
Yeah.
That's not the point in that. The frustration for me was when I see that, I'm just like, okay, let's beat this team today. Let's have these people go home miserable. Like, I just came to this game in Buffalo. I know some of them live here.
Yeah.
I just came to this game and I'm going home miserable. And right away, 15 seconds in, they're taking over. It's loud, the arena. And it just never ended. It never ended. Not one thing to cheer for other than maybe a Dylan Cousins fight where he was winning the most of it and then got a shot in against him at the end. But nothing really to cheer for the whole game. The goal horn doesn't go off. I've got my son, but I'm seeing kids everywhere. I don't think it was a kids day game, but there's kids. There was a guy and his wife next to me that their daughter first ever game. She's got the certificate.
Yeah.
I got kids down here on my left and on my right. I got kids in front of me eating their candy and all that. It's awesome. Not one goal horn to even celebrate. It was so frustrating being in that building yesterday.
It's probably a lot like what I dealt with when I was in that arena against Toronto.
Yes.
They were when O'Reilly scored like a minute in and then another minute in and then another. It was like 4-1, 4-0 in the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Same thing, right? Like buildings being taken over. What you want, I've been on the other side of that. And the other side of that is when I went to the Titans game, the Bills Titans game, 2 years ago. Is that 2 years ago now? Yeah, 2 years ago. And there were a ton of Bills fans. And what happened at the end of the game? Me and my friends are walking down the ramp to leave the game, and what do you hear? You got Titans fans, shouting from behind you, go home!
Yep.
Go back to Buffalo! You want to be able to do that, but instead, it's like, just boom, 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 over. And part of that is, the Sabres just don't win at home. So you don't have a very good chance at getting that feeling this year because they don't win at home.
And then after the game, I did not catch this until someone pointed it out. So I went back and listened this morning. Did you listen to Don Granato's post game?
No, I did not.
Okay. Don Granato is talking in his post game, and I'm not down there enough. I've been down there a few times for post game press conferences to know kind of the room where they are. Joe, we don't need to play this, but I'm telling you, Don Granato is speaking to the media after a 7-0 loss, and all I can hear, and someone pointed this out to me, like, oh my God, did you hear this? So I had to go back and listen to see.
Yeah.
all I can hear is what I'm assuming to be Boston Bruins players and coaches laughing behind the next wall, going, having a, it was brutal. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't them. There's, maybe there were other people who worked there down there. Something was going on. There was a party. I don't know. But it sounded like through the wall, it was just the Boston Bruins team in some capacity having a party in the locker room and laughing, basically. Not laughing at the Sabres, per se. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just a joyous, joyous time. As Don Granato's trying to explain away a 7-0 loss, by the way, this is all over his post-game audio. It's unbelievable.
They're just partying in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they've... That's the soundtrack of the last 10 years, isn't it? A Sabres coach explaining away a brutal defeat while the Boston Bruins are in the background enjoying themselves. I mean, that's been a decade. Ever since we talked about last hour that it's been 12 years since Milan Lucic ran over Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
Is it, maybe it's a little bit before that. But that's like the moment where we all think of like, okay, from since then, they have been this class organization, like the peak of hockey in the last 10 years, sustained winning throughout, never bad, and the Sabres have just been the complete opposite. And like last night, you thought this might be the year where things started to change, and it has for the Sabres. Boston, it hasn't, right? Boston's on pace to set the NHL record for wins.
We were on our way out, and there was a guy wearing a Bruins jersey, looked at us, and he goes, ah, maybe next year with you guys, right? And he was just having fun with us. And I looked at him, an older gentleman, wearing a Bobby Orr jersey, and I said,
okay,
one of these years, you guys are going to age out. And I stopped, and I go, but I've been telling myself that for a long time, and he just laughed.
Yeah. Bergeron will age out. Marchand will age out. That's part of... It's part of why you want to see some aggression, right? You can't just wait around and
right.
for teams to get bad because
right.
sometimes,
that's a great point.
Sometimes it will happen, right? Chicago, they got bad. They aged out and they got bad.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But Boston has aged out. People forget this. They've already aged out. Chara aged out. Lucic aged out. Krejci even. I know he's still on the team, but he's not the same impact player he used to be. Krejci
didn't play
aged
yesterday
out.
Either, by the way.
Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask. Both aged out. Mm-hmm. Boston has done a great job at just, we're going to hit the refresh button. Yeah, Bergeron's still there. Marchand's still there.
How is that and why is that? I mean, Neely runs the team now. And
they hit on Pastrnak.
Is that just...
They hit on Pastrnak.
Yep.
They hit on Charlie McAvoy. They hit on Linus Ullmark. I mean, there are other examples too, but that's at least one player at each position where they're, boom, elite player that they just brought in to replace guys that went out. And that's why, like, again, like Pittsburgh, I think you can assume they're going to age out. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is not doing a good job of setting themselves up for post-Crosby, Malkin, Letang. They're going to get bad really
Washington's
quickly.
Also going to do the same thing.
Same thing.
We know that. I didn't realize Oshie was like 33 now as well, by the way.
36, I think.
What?
Yeah, he's
okay,
really
there
old.
You go. That's my point, yeah.
I am not assuming Boston's going to get bad. I think the Bruins, the moves they've made, some of the young pieces they've had, I am not assuming they're going to get bad when Marchand and Bergeron are gone, like I would with the Penguins and the Capitals.
And
which means you can't always just wait around.
Right.
Sometimes you got to push the envelope a little bit, and you got to catch them, not wait for them to fall back to you.
And part of that is making a move, let's say, at the trade deadline. I've heard a lot of, and you have, people have said, well, this is why you should have made more moves. This is why you shouldn't have sat on your hands. Let me ask you this. Whether it's Chychrun or some other move out there, is there anything they could have done, Joe, really, that would put them in a better spot than they are now? And maybe another win, I don't know, but
probably
they're not going to make the playoffs at this point. I think we're all kind of,
correct.
Yes, mathematically they're alive, I get it, and who knows, you go on a 10-game win streak, right? Great, I hope that happens. They're not going to make the playoffs. But let's go back to trade deadline week. Let's go back to the couple weeks before that. They bring Stillman in a little before that.
Yeah.
For anybody who says, and I want to give this room and give this thought because maybe they're right. For anybody who says, well, that's why you should have done more at the deadline. Is there anything they really could have done that could have, by this point, completely altered where they are and let us be saying today, you know what? They're right in this thing, man. They're one game in hand, two points out.
Honestly, no.
No, I don't think so.
Honestly, no. The one move we talked about forever that I still think would fit this team perfectly was Jacob Chychrun. You know what Ottawa's done the last five games? Ottawa, with Jacob Chychrun, they went on a little bit of a win streak when he first got there. The last five games, Ottawa's lost all five. 1 point out of a possible 10. And in those five games, they've given up 5-5-6-5-5. Five goals in every game except for one. They gave up six. That's Chychrun. Ottawa is the team actually that did push the envelope. They went pretty close to all in, right? They traded a first-round pick for DeBrincat. They signed Claude Giroux. Then they doubled down on it, and they traded for Chychrun. Hasn't worked for them. So it's not always going to work the other way. I think the answer to your question is no. Had they traded for Chychrun, they'd probably be in the exact same spot, or they'd be a little bit above, like one more win. Maybe they beat the Islanders, and they get that win. But I think it's got to come in an offseason. A trade deadline, even if it's a big move, it's usually one big move, which is still pretty much tinkering with your roster.
Right.
I think overhaul is the wrong word. The plan for next season is when they exit this year and they start to build for next year, that's when you do your work. That's when you do your damage. And goalie, they'll have to figure out. Some depth pieces they'll have to figure out. Yeah, they'll get internal growth from a bunch of places. But for this season, no. I don't think there was anything they could have done that... sans a goalie move that didn't happen anywhere. Like, if they somehow dragged UC Saros out of Nashville, that would have done it. But there was no move that someone did at the deadline where I would have said, oh, yeah, if the Sabres did that, they'd be in the playoffs.
I mean, I know there's a lot of things that go into the negotiating part of it, and maybe the agent said, well, he's got to be in the NHL. I get all that, but you know me, I was kind of dead set against
Levi
being here, other than if they're totally out of it, right? Like, totally out of it. Yep. We're getting to that point now. It seemed like, though, even if they were totally in it, he would be starting sometime coming up soon. At this point, though, honestly, Joe, could they get worse in the spot anyway, right? Like, why not? Even if they were very close to a playoff spot, I might push for, okay, you got to put Anderson in. He's got the experience here. I don't know if I want UPL. But honestly, at this point, I'm like, what do you really have to lose? The only thing you might be able to lose is this kid getting his confidence crushed if all of a sudden he gets out there and they leave him out to dry and he gives up 5-6 goals in his first couple of games each or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the thing you might lose. But other than that, I don't think you can get much worse than what you've been doing anyway, so you might as well try it.
No, right. They've given up, two of their last three home games. They've given up 7-10. And the goalie didn't even get pulled in either game. Right. You could lose confidence. You could lose something like that. But, man, like, is that not happening with Lukanen then right now? If we're so worried about confidence, he's 23 years old. He's still young and developing. You could make an argument he still shouldn't have appeared in the NHL because goalies take time. And has Lukanen done anything to prove that he's in the NHL or that he's an NHL goaltender other than because of circumstance? Because of who the guys were in front of him, that he had an open door to get there. So you could lose that with Levi. But, no, yeah, the bar is super low. He'll give you at least the same that with Lukanen and Comrie especially have been giving you. I think now that you're kind of out of it, it's finding out season, right? Like, it bring some guys up and let's see how close they are to NHL level as you continue to get out further out of the playoff picture. And Levi, like, if he is dead set on I want to be in the NHL, I don't know what they might have agreed upon, what they might have talked about when they convinced him to sign here, but clearly for this point in time, it's he's going to be in the NHL, not in the AHL. What I would wonder, how far does that extend? Have they given him some assurance that not even that you're going to be in the NHL next year, but if you show up, you have a good preseason and a good training camp, we're going to put you in the NHL. And these however many games he plays the rest of this season will factor into that. That's really what I wonder. How much now is this season about you're trying to figure out if Devin Levi can be one of your two goaltenders next year? Because the playoff race is almost over.
It has to be almost all about that at this point.
Exactly. Now the rest of the year, these last 13 games, I think the number one thing to look for is Levi proving one way or the other that he is either ready for the NHL next year or he's not. And if he starts to prove that he is, they're going to have a super interesting decision to make in net for a season next year that has to be playoffs. And you're going to have to decide, if Levi's ready to go, am I going in with two young goalies that are unproven when I have to make the playoffs?
That's when you make a summer possible deal with UPL. Like, that could happen if Levi proves himself. that he could. But yeah, that's right. Maybe they figure he's also going to take that next jump for him. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Paul's going to join us in about 10 minutes, 10:30. And then Eric Galco from the Shrine Bowl, Optimum Scouting. It's going to be really cool. We'll talk about prospects for the NFL draft because we're kind of transitioning from free agency to the draft here over the next week or so. Let's go to Bob in a car who starts us off here on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. So I've got the game on the TV cranked up, and I'm in the other room, and I hear the crowd erupt. And I think, oh, the Sabres scored already. And then I say to myself, no, there's no goal horn. I've never seen the arena like that except for a Toronto game. I don't know how that happened or why that happened, but I was stunned the whole game with the amount of Bruins fans that were there. Just hard to explain. Yeah. The other thing, Sal, the post game by the coach, I was mortified because I wasn't sure where that ruckus was coming from. I feared that it was coming from the Sabres locker room.
I don't think so. I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
I would be shocked, but I think where he does the presser is closer to our locker room than the visiting locker room.
Probably right. I have to get with Paul. I'm going to ask Paul about that when he comes on because I don't want to speak on. I've been down there in the layout, but I don't know. I think you could probably, even if it's not close, I don't know if it's thick enough to block out that sound. It might have been people walking into their locker room. But before I speak on it, I'll ask Paul. But you heard it, right, Bob? You heard it too.
Oh, my God. I was sitting there listening, saying, as I said, God, I hope that's not the Sabres locker room.
No. Yeah, I can imagine. Thanks, Bob. We'll get more clarification on that from Paul when he comes on. Let's get to Richard in Rochester. Hey, Richard, what's up?
Hey, thanks for my call. Really enjoy hearing you guys. We're talking about the chemistry. And, you know, 3 weeks ago they brought in Jordan Greenway. And they've inserted him into different lines, moved things around. And it just seems like our chemistry has been off these 3 weeks. And I don't want to pin it on him or trying things. But it just seems like we're not playing as fluid as what we were prior to that or since then.
No, I mean, they have not looked as good. I don't know, same as you, I want to pin it all on him, but I will say they are clearly trying to find a spot in the lineup in which he is playing, that he plays well and that he meshes. And they're still trying to find that, right? He started on the top line yesterday with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch, and very quickly Jeff Skinner got put back up on that line. They've moved Greenway all around, and I'm not saying they won't find a combination, but yeah, they have not yet. And I mean, it's a little bit of a factor. It's not, you know, it's not deterring them from scoring goals. I mean, Thompson has not played a ton with Greenway. He hasn't scored in 8 games. You know, there are guys going through some droughts right now, but yeah, Greenway's interesting because he was an exciting idea. I liked it. And I don't think they're getting much of anything in terms of results right now from him.
Yeah, so the question is on the rubric is when you get a group of young people that are really meshing well together, you know, can you know, and you were talking about doing it off season rather than in season. That's when you think the big change is going to occur. So during in season, we had these guys kind of gelling. And then we disrupt it. And do they have the capacity to withstand these kind of changes versus, you know, a veteran team that could absorb that kind of change?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Richard. I don't know. I feel like lineup changes, a lot of it's just excuse making. That it can matter a little bit, but this team, it has flaws. It's not chemistry as much as it is just this team has some flaws. They're super young. They do not play well defensively. And they don't have a goalie that can bail them out when they don't score. I think all of those things matter more than, yeah, the chemistry being affected a little bit in the last couple of weeks. I'm not saying that doesn't matter at all, but I think it's a little bit. It's down the list as to why this season has gotten away from them to where they're like 2% now to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, criticism yesterday of like Jost not being in the lineup. But I agree with Don Granato when he says that, well, I got to take somebody out, right? And like it's you're always going to have room to criticize who I take out, basically. Right. And he said Olsen scored a couple goals, right? I mean, like, Hinostroza gave him energy. Like, there's always room for that. It's the same thing we get with the Bills. Well, how come this guy's not playing? And there's always rightful criticism for it. But there are decisions you have to make, and it's not always going to work out. And if it doesn't, you're going to have room to say even more so, why did you do that? So I agree. More so, though, was Skinner not on the top line yesterday? And
at the start.
Okay, but he did go
but
in,
he did
right?
go back. He went did, back okay. on it. Greenway, they started they, on the top right. line. It didn't look good, and then they put Skinner back up there.
Right. I mean, that's the – again, to me, it's the same thing with line shuffling. I'd like to see certain guys together, but at the same time, I think in hockey, you just move guys around sometimes. That's what you do, and you have to try and figure out something else. And it didn't go right in the beginning. It, by the way, didn't go right after they made the change, obviously. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton joins us next. We'll get more to the Sabres 7-0 loss to the Bruins and what it means going forward, and Devin Levi and his update and what could be happening with him coming into this week as the Sabres have a game tomorrow night against the Nashville Predators.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the home, royal blue and gold jerseys, and the Bruins in the road whites get the first test on Lucan in front, post right in front, and the Bruins score 15 seconds in.
All right, we got a couple of things to tell you about Paul Hamilton. First of all, his appearances on WGR are always brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. And we also have Paul that's going to be part of the Buffalo Broadcasters Association. Pretty cool event coming up, Joe.
Yeah, so it'll be Paul, it'll be Rick Jenneret, Rob Murray, Pete Weber, and Brian Koziel will be leading on that. You can get your tickets for that, by the way, at the Buffalo Broadcasters Association.com. Paul, you got a go-to story you're just ready to unleash on everybody for this event?
Might be better to leave that to RJ and Rob.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm sure you have some.
If they weren't there, yeah, I could come up with stuff, but I certainly can't come up with what they can when it comes to stories around the National Hockey League and the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah. Pete Weber as well, by the way, will be in attendance.
Pete's great. Pete, Pete's a big WGR listener, actually. His wife still loves, they love the Bills. They listen to the WGR, they listen to Bills games. And by the way, that is happening. Let me give you the date on that exactly.
That's Wednesday. So Wednesday at 7 o'clock, Birchfield Penny Art Center. And yeah, Buffalo Broadcasters Association.com for tickets. Yeah, Pete was on those phone lines trying to get in on Friday to say goodbye to Howard on Howard's last day. He did get in.
Good.
But yeah, he knew. Like, he knew the day. Like, he definitely still listens to
this. I know you know Pete pretty well. I saw him maybe a year or two ago. Nashville comes to town. I'm up in the press box. And he came up to me and he said, Sal, he said, my wife loves listening to you and WGR because we love the Bills. And I was like, that's cool. So yeah, you know, it's always great to hear from people like that. So it's going to be a fun night on Wednesday, Paul. You guys should have a good time.
Yeah, and it's great the event is because the Predators are here on Tuesday, which puts Pete Weber in town.
Yep, that's right.
So that's great that the event is the next day that he can just stay over and participate.
All right, Paul, I have to ask you first a question about the postgame because I brought up to Joe earlier. I'm listening to Don Granato, and I hear in the background so many people laughing and having a good time, sounding like they're having a party. And my assumption is that was Bruins players and coaches. I don't know. Someone actually called us and said they listened and they thought maybe it's the Sabres locker room. I said, I can't believe that would be going on in the Sabres locker room. But I don't know if you heard it, but it was pointed out to me by a couple people yesterday postgame about the noise that was going on behind Don Granato. Was that, I just want to make sure, and we have this right, the way it's set up down there, where was that noise coming from?
Yeah, it's the Bruins locker room. They're right on the other side of the wall.
Okay.
So you very often you hear what's going on in there. And they certainly were enthusiastic about their win.
Oh, no doubt about it. And they should be because they came to Buffalo. And I don't think they were necessarily laughing at the Sabres, but they're having a good time. That's the kind of team that they know what it takes to win this time of year. And the message I got from Don Granato after the game, listening to that postgame, Paul, was, it sucks, but we have to go through this right now. And he's basically letting his own team know and the fans know and the organization know, We're going to be better for this, but we have to go through this right now. Sure, we'd love to win, but if we're not going to win, we have to at least try to take these lessons. That's what I got out of it.
Well, you eventually have to learn these lessons. If it's not now, then it's going to be next year or whatever. So, you know, they're in the midst of what was a playoff race for them, and it didn't go well. And their star players weren't even close to playing up to their potential and up the way they're capable of playing. For me, there's a small concern. I've been around Tage Thompson, Erasmus Dahlin long enough to know I think they'll figure out what they need to figure out to be able to get to their games and be productive when other teams are trying to keep them under wraps. All the great players figure it out. This is the first time Tage Thompson has had his name circled on the whiteboard that this guy's not beating us tonight. We're going to be on him. He's going to have to fight for every inch. If any of the rest of their guys want to try to beat us, fine. But this guy's not going to. He's never been through that before. The small concern I have is there are players in professional sports who can't play under pressure. I don't think this group is like that, but you never know because they've never been under this kind of pressure before. And right now, they're not handling it well. They get frustrated. And they play their worst once they're frustrated, and the goals keep pouring in at the other end for numerous reasons. So I think they'll figure it out, and I think they will be better for it. And so next year when it happens, they'll be ready for it and know what to do. But I do have a small concern that maybe, you know, they've got some guys who just can't perform under pressure.
How much of it, too, Paul, is just getting saves? I mean, I don't want to say it's all of it. But, like, last night, first period, scoring chances were even, but three goals in the back of the Sabres net, and Swayman, meanwhile, who's a great goaltender for Boston, makes every save. So, again, without me saying that it's all of it, how much of that do you think just comes down to they just need a goalie to bail them out once in a while?
Yeah, and every now and then they do, but they don't do it enough. And that was a game that easily could have been 4-4. If that game was played in October, November, the Sabres might have won it 6-4 because they might have gone out and outscored them. You know, yeah, we gave up four, but we got five, so we're okay. Score the empty net or we win 6-4 type of a thing. They certainly easily could add four goals, easily. When that score was 4-0, it could have been 4-4. But Swayman just basically stood on his head and did everything he needed to do to be able to make saves and play well. So, you know, he did that and really you know, made it so, all right, the Sabres can't score here. We're scoring easily because of numerous reasons, one of which, as you said, you can't get a save when you needed to get a save. And, you know, it's not happening. I mean, they're not scoring four goals a game anymore. In this little streak here, they're averaging 2.55 goals a game. I did not see this coming. I did not see Tage Thompson not scoring in eight straight games. I didn't see that coming at all. And that's been the stress of this playoff race and the extra attention that he gets. He hasn't been able to figure it out yet. He doesn't get as many scoring chances. He doesn't get as many shots. And he's got to play through it, and he's got to figure it out. But he hasn't figured it out yet. But definitely, you know, when you're not scoring the goals and you're letting in the in these 11 games, the most goals, rather, in the National Hockey League and the second worst goals against, that's just not a combination that's going to work for you.
Paul, I am not the yell shoot guy at the arena, okay? I'm not the guy, shoot the ball. I'm not that guy. But I just felt they had opportunities to shoot the puck yesterday in the power play and just got too cute with it. Am I wrong? It just seemed like they were trying to make one extra pass. Are they afraid to shoot because they're afraid there's something bad is going to happen? They don't want to make a mistake? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, like there was an example where Victor Olsen got it in his office over in the right circle for the one-timer. I sit right there. I saw the trajectory. It wasn't going to get blocked. If he let it go, if it's on net, it's on net. If it's over the net, it's over the net. But it wasn't getting blocked. He pulled it down because he has it in his head. So many shots have been blocked lately. It's almost like he's got the yips now, and he didn't shoot it. Jack Quinn might have been their best player yesterday, but he had three different opportunities where he had chances to shoot the puck in great scoring areas and passed it. And that's where I couldn't be a coach, because I would absolutely be flipping on Jack Quinn right now. As well as he's playing, I couldn't take telling him time and time again to shoot the puck and not having him do it. And he's got, I would say, maybe the third best shot on the team. He can absolutely fire the puck. I mean, who would you rather shoot the puck? Jack Quinn in the middle of the ice, open, facing the goaltender, or Ilya Lyubushkin coming through the right circle on a bad angle? He chose Ilya Lyubushkin, who then he decided to pass it to. By the time they were done, they never got a shot. And yesterday really illustrated that there were at least three grade-A chances that Jack Quinn gave up because he decided to pass the puck.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. All right, let's go to the blue line in goaltending, though, Paul, because as much as we can talk about how they have had such a drop in scoring and guys aren't scoring, they're giving up too many chances, and it seems like it's too many easy chances. And Don Granato talked a lot about the middle of the ice yesterday. Far too many guys walking in and having opportunities with no bodies on them.
And that's been a problem all year. Even when they're winning, it's a problem. I mean, it's just they pay no attention to the center of the ice. They're oblivious to it, especially defensemen coming in from the point. The Sabres just seem to have no concept whatsoever that they're coming. And next thing you know, they're open, and it's in the net. Boston got a goal like that yesterday. The Sabres give up a lot of goals to defensemen that way, just coming straight down the slot because the winger just is oblivious to the defenseman activating coming down the middle. Look at 15 seconds into the game. There's no secret. You know what the Boston Bruins are going to try to do. You know Patrice Bergeron's going to head to the middle of the ice. And Peyton Krebs and Kyle Okposo just basically let them. There was no resistance. It almost like they saw it too late. But it's right in front of them. It's the middle of the ice. You have to be able to defend the middle of the ice. And they aren't able to. And then on the games where you're not getting the big save. But, you know, for the Sabre goalies, the way the Sabres defend when they're really not playing well. Now, they had a couple of games where they defended really well. I mean, what did the Leafs go? The Leafs or the Rangers, one of them went 17 minutes without a shot. And in those games. So they're capable, but they don't do it enough. And, you know, the combination of not getting a big save and letting the center, the middle of the ice open constantly has spelled, you know, a disaster in their own end.
Let's go out to the phone lines. You're on with Paul Hamilton, Josh in Buffalo. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wanted to call in. I was actually planning on writing a little letter to the person who handles my season tickets, and I'm like, I can't waste my time on this anymore. And I'm just like, I can't get this game out of my head, because yesterday I took my kids and one of their friends, and I have to say, you know, my family's been a season ticket holder member from day one of the Buffalo Bills. Many years a season ticket holder of the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, through all the 2-14, early 80s, you know, Bills teams, I never had the feeling that I had yesterday leaving that arena at the end of the second period. My kids wanted to leave. I was just absolutely appalled. Very sad, actually. It was a very sad moment in sports history. You know, my son pretty much is like, I hate this team. Why do we come to these games anymore? The effort was awful. I think they could have had 100 shots on that, and none of those would have gone in. Just aiming at the center of the chest, hearing that crowd erupt and looking around after 15 seconds was the low light by a mile that I've ever had in the history of Buffalo sports. It was sad. It was pathetic. And it really, it was the nail in the coffin. You know, I've probably said it 100 times before, not really meaning it. Yesterday left an emotional scar on myself and, you know, bringing my kids to these games. And I don't even know why I'm really calling, but it bothered me so much when they wanted to leave at the end of the second period and basically said, we're done with this team. We really are done with this team. So, you know, whether it's player changes, coaching changes, I truly thought the effort was terrible. And the Bruins coming off of a back-to-back with a backup goaltender and an absolute must-win by the Sabres, and to show that terribleness and to have 80%, I mean, it seemed like it was 100%. It seemed like we were the only four Buffalo fans in the entire section. And to hear how loud that crowd got was just a very sad moment. And I can now get on with my day, because this is really, really, truly bothering
me. Been therapeutic for you, Josh? All right, we appreciate you calling. But, Paul, I mean, I get the sentiment. Yesterday was tough for me, too. I brought my son. There were a lot of kids around. And that's the kind of game, the kind of day that really leaves a sour taste in your mouth. I don't know what you felt about the specific effort of the team, but I know that having those people, Bruins fans that is, that many of them, in that arena and 15 seconds in and them just having a party the rest of the day, I know that I was pretty frustrated all day.
Yeah, yesterday was not a poor effort. Effort had nothing to do with it. They were spinning their wheels. They got frustrated because what they have been able to do for a lot of this year, they couldn't do. It wasn't working. And when it hasn't worked for a bit now, and then all of a sudden they get frustrated. When frustration sets in, then they start making mistakes. But their effort was fine yesterday. It had nothing to do with effort or anything like that. It's like we can't fight through it. We're trying, but we can't get through this. Why can't we get through this? And then they start making mistakes, and turning the puck over, and the whole nine yards. I mean, I would disagree. You know, I still think this team is headed in the right direction. And the Kevin Adams and Don Granato have said all season long that they're nowhere near where they need to be. They know that. There are still things that have to happen with this hockey team as they grow. I can't believe, and fans are very, they have the right to the opinion, but I can't believe that quite a few of my mentions, I won't even put a percentage on it, want Don Granato and Kevin Adams fired. And it's just like, do you remember where this team was last year? You know, and there have been a lot of good games, too, but they're very inconsistent. And as I told you earlier, they're in a place now where I think they will figure it out because of the guys who are involved, but there has to be a slight concern that what if they don't? Then you got some young players who can't perform in key situations. That's going to turn into a problem. So, and then there's a lot more to come. Savoy's ripping up junior hockey right now. Kulik is playing very well in Rochester. So there's more to come. But, you know, there's things that this team needs to do in the offseason. They know it. I mean, they know this isn't a Stanley Cup. Even if the Sabres got in the playoffs, this isn't a Stanley Cup contending team. And I don't think too many people thought this was a team that was going to be in the playoffs in August when we were talking. And so in the long run of everything, they've overachieved for a lot of this season. And now they're in a tough spot right now.
Paul, Devin Levi, unless he's on the ice right now, I don't know. He's not. Okay. Do we think they would put him in right away? Or would you imagine a couple practices, maybe a week goes by? Because he is 9 days removed from his last game. I don't know. I guess, how do you think they would play that? Would they rush him in because he's, you know, keep him fresh almost? Or keep him in the rhythm of things? Or do you think they would want to get him some practices in?
Well, they'll judge him, you know, of how do you feel. And what we don't know is how much has he been on the ice since that last game. You know,
right.
Has he been on the ice? Has he done things? That type of thing. I believe we're probably going to get a chance to talk to him today. So we'll find those things out. So I think it's going to be, where are you at? How do you feel? You know, do you need a couple of days to ramp yourself up in practice type of thing? And go from there and, you know, see. You know, I think definitely he'll get some games, but I think it's going to be up to him and the coaching staff to take a look at what they see early here.
All right, before you go, I want to get to Jeff in Buffalo because he has a question about something you just brought up a minute ago regarding coaching. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hello.
Paul, did I just hear you say that a team that lost 7-0, you thought put in a good effort?
I did say that. Effort had nothing to do with it.
Why not? How do you lose 7-0 and not?
Because they got frustrated and made mistake after mistake after mistake and started playing like shinny hockey, but they were putting the effort in. But they, when this team gets frustrated, they start reverting back to their old ways a little bit, and then it just snowballs on them because they're not, like, there was one goal where both defensemen went to the side wall. They were hustling over to the side wall, but you don't need both defensemen over at the side wall. Olsson, you know, didn't have his man coming back. That was an effort play on his part. But
it is worth mentioning, too, they were playing the team that's on pace to set the NHL record in wins. Just throwing that out there, too.
Yeah.
We understand that. But on the other hand, too, at what point do you have to start looking at coaching and say, well, maybe this guy has brought them as far as they can go. Maybe they do need somebody that has a little more NHL experience, that maybe has a different philosophy, that can get these guys to actually do better and go further than they're going. Because what happens if you go into next season and you go through another 8-game losing streak? Do you make a change then, or do you think about, let's make a change now, and maybe it'll affect this team going forward?
So you've seen, and I'm just asking, you've seen no improvement in this team under Don Granato.
But define improvement. I mean, what are you looking for? You do have veterans on this team. This team is not all a bunch of 20-year-old kids.
They're the youngest team in the National Hockey League.
They have 13 first-round picks on this team. They have veterans on this team. They have young guys on this team. They're just not – they're going through all these sporadic wins and losses. And now,
let me ask you, Jeff, how do you define improvement? They're certainly much improved from their overall team and points and from last year. Now, I guess you could say standings-wise, but they're certainly improved from where they were last year points-wise, right? How do you define improvement? They have a couple of guys who are having career years. I would say that's improved.
Okay, that's two guys. But, you know, you have a general manager put a goaltender on this team to help out this team.
Okay, well, you don't want to hear about improvement. Go ahead.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Like, I think that's a different point, too, right? Like the goaltending and the personnel. Paul, to go back to his original question, as someone that has seen improvement for the whole team overall and knows that they're the youngest team in hockey, I am more... To put a specific answer on his question, and Paul, you tell me if you agree with this or you think this is reasonable, I am more than a calendar year away from even thinking about that conversation.
Oh, absolutely. It hasn't even entered my mind to fire anybody. The only one that's starting to enter my mind is Mike Bales, the goaltender coach. Look what Linus Allmark did once he became a Boston Bruin with a different coach. Look what Lukanen's doing right now. It looked like he was improving, but he's not. I would still have to think about that. That's just kind of popped in my mind recently. that maybe they might have to find a different direction with the goaltending coach, you know, especially with the young goaltender coming up in Levi. I'm sorry the caller hasn't seen improvement. I've seen a lot of improvement. I'd like to see 90 points, and I said that before, and I think it would be a bit of a disappointing season if they don't make 90. But Tage Thompson would not have 40 goals in the National Hockey League if it wasn't for Don Granato, because there, I don't think there's a coach in the NHL that would have switched him to center. There was never a thought for it. There was never anybody that was going to do it. Rasmus Dahlin, he's turned into – if Rasmus Dahlin would have continued the way he was playing this year before he got frustrated and what I believe – is hurt. They, you know, that's my opinion. Look at the improvement of Rasmus Dahlin in just over a year. And that's the thing. Everybody wants to rip the coach when guys don't play well, but then it's the player. When you get better, it's the player who did it. When things aren't going well, it's the coach. Well, I don't think that way. Owen Power has come a long way as a young player. Paterka and Quinn. I mean, look at the way Quinn's playing recently. I mean, look at what he's been doing. So I haven't even given one second of thought to, you know what, they should change coaches. Where is changing coaches have gotten you on this team? You change coaches every 2 years. And this, I'll tell you what, you don't worry about the locker room, I guess, but you do. If Don Granato got fired today, this locker room would absolutely revolt. They believe in Don Granato, and they believe in what he's selling, and you would lose a lot of these players. And by the way, too, there are agents that call the Buffalo Sabres and ask, what do you need? Would my player fit in here? They're looking to come to the Buffalo Sabres. So if this is such a garbage organization with coaches who don't know what they're doing and GMs that don't know what they're doing, why all of a sudden has this become a destination for players?
Paul, we got to go. Thanks, buddy. We're way up against it. I appreciate you, man.
No problem. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton there. We'll come back real quickly. Then we'll get to Eric Galco at 11:05. We'll talk Bills, draft, and prospects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we got way late with Paul, so we got to get out of here and then get to Eric Galco. He is Optimum Scouting. He's Shrine Bowl. Lots of stuff going on with prospects coming up. After yesterday watching and seeing this team play, the Bruins, how, from a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised would you be if they do not win the Stanley Cup?
Ooh, I would... So, the 10 being the
like
most surprised?
Super surprised, yeah.
I mean, it's hockey. I got to say, like a 7. I wouldn't be stunned, no. They're the favorite. They should be the favorite, but it's hockey. The Lightning set the record in points 4 years ago and got swept by Columbus.
Right, that's right.
And also, one last thing on this real quick. The reason I wouldn't be that surprised, Carolina dominates Boston whenever they play them.
That's right.
In fact, I think Carolina might be 3-0 against the Bruins, something like that, this season.
Did you see Aho's goal the other night?
No. I'm going to go look right now.
I think it's the one he got the hat trick on, I think.
Okay.
That's right. I think that was it. Oh, it was like one of the top plays on SportsCenter, I believe.
I'm going to go look right now.
Yeah, go check that out. We got Eric Elko coming up next. We'll talk Bills draft prospects.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.